Insightful conversations, the occasional interview, regular digressions, and of course, you. Tune into Sports Talk with me, Steve Tannen, from 4 to 6 every weekday on 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Tannen, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, to go, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
I looked off into the sky, and there it was, a beautiful golden sunset, the boldest yellow, Lakers yellow, and further in the distance, a helicopter. There was my sign that he will forever be with me. I heard his voice in my head, the last line from one of his books. Walk until the darkness is a memory, and you become the sun on the next traveler's horizon. Today may feel like darkness. He was, in so many ways, a sun, beaming, radiating, fixed in the sky.
That was Oregon's Sabrina Ionescu talking at the Bryant Memorial today. Kobe and his daughter Gianna remembered. Has it been a month now? Was yesterday 4 weeks? Has it been 29 days?
It was the 26th.
So there you go. It was 4 weeks and a day ago. And, you know, Bill Russell on hand, Michael Jordan, with tears streaming down his face, actually provided a much-needed moment, saying he told his wife he wasn't going to do this because he didn't need to see another crying Jordan meme for the next 3 or 4 years.
The funny part is I don't think anybody was going to plan on making a meme out of crying Jordan a second time, considering the way memes, like, you recycle them very quickly, but crying Jordan, the original, was, you know, kind of the eternal one. Like, it went on for forever, and now we have a new crying Jordan meme, and maybe by making fun of the first one, he kind of ended the idea that there wouldn't be a second one, but probably going to see some more crying Jordan memes.
No, it was he told a story that broke folks up, and then Shaq told a story about one of the players, Robert Horry, and somebody else went to him when they were on the Lakers and basically saying, hey, Kobe's a ball hog, he's not passing the ball, will you talk to him? And Shaq said something along the lines of, hey dude, guys are a little ticked off at you not passing. There is no we in team. And he says, but there is me, mofo. And that was kind of a nice moment. Sabrina, just amazing. And by the way, we should be surprised at her eloquence, her class, her heart, her warmth, her compassion. Yeah, I don't think so. And I we'll always remember watching Kobe's widow, Vanessa, and how she can get up there and talk about her daughter and husband who died in that helicopter crash. And, well, obviously overcome with emotion, and her heart just ripped out, to be as composed and as together as she was. I mean, you want to talk about strength and character. Jeez, you saw, and obviously with an international figure like Bryant and the social media platforms we have, I mean, you're talking millions and millions and millions of people paying attention, offering commentary. And, you know, the thing about Ionescu is then she had to leave L.A. and make her way back up to Maples because she's got a game in an hour and 55 minutes. And, you wonder, this is a spotlight game and a unique circumstance with heavy hearts and a lot of passion and emotion. And it's usually where number 20 is at her best. And coincidentally, on a day like this, in her senior year, right, this game is why she came back. So the first place Ducks could travel to what's been a basketball hellhole for the program throughout almost its entire existence. And with Stanford a game behind, a win and it's tied, but with Stanford a game behind and Oregon wins, that's it. I mean, they only have two games left. They would be three up on UCLA and two up on Stanford with a sweep. And that's Katie bar the door. Oregon's the one seed headed into Vegas. And, you know, not only is that meaningful there in that, you know, in the first round, you know, when, let's say, as it stands right now, which it's going to be. I mean, you could pretty much etch, barring some ridiculous upsets this weekend, Oregon, Stanford, UCLA, and Arizona are two games clear of everybody else. And Arizona, while they do play Stanford, who's obviously a terrific team, they also play Cal, who's terrible. So all Arizona has to do is get a win. And right now it would be Arizona State, Cal. Oregon State was hit the skids. And, you know, they've suffered from the injury bug because if they heal up, they're still really, really dangerous. OSU would take on Washington State, USC, the Huskies, and Utah and Colorado. And then, you know, you bracket it out. And in essence, if Oregon wins tonight, I think you could book passage to the SS Moda for the West Regional, because if they lose, that means something bad happened. Somebody got injured, because this team as is, I mean, they play hard. Cal played their tails off on Friday. They made some good defensive plays. They were making some shots, and I remember just looking up and saying, It's over. It was 33, 34 points. And it's like, that's the feel you used to get watching Coach Summit's Vols and in more recent years, Oriema's Huskies, and in even more recent couple years, you know, this South Carolina team, this Baylor team, some good Mississippi State teams, these really good Oregon teams, they're just a cut above. And, yeah, the game's on ESPN2. And the best part about it is all day long with the coverage. And we've got ESPN on right now with the, you know, they got a really big ACC game on with Louisville and Florida State. But in that low corner, all you've seen all day long, Oregon at Stanford tonight, 9 o'clock, ESPN2. I mean, that's primetime on the East Coast, and it works its way into primetime on the West Coast. That's their marquee matchup. And like somebody said over the weekend, volume. You'll hear people who work in media, be it radio or TV. And I think for most of you, it would come into play during bowl season. You're like, why they need all those bowl games? Well, they talk about inventory, but since Sabrina became a Duck, especially last year, the year before, you know, the Elite Eight run, Final Four run, what she's become, the triple doubles, the face of the game itself, they just are like, women's basketball gets covered and mentioned so much substantially more right now. And one of the reasons that the Kobe tragedy hit so close to home is he had taken it upon himself to do all he can, you know, and obviously for the sake of his daughter, or maybe daughters, to, you know, shine a light on the women's game and to hopefully kind of, you know, water the seeds to allow it to continue to grow. And now you saw Steph Curry was in the house on Friday night. at Cal, and you see a lot of other of the most prominent names in the men's game starting to embrace and offer their support. And if they were inspired by Kobe, so be it. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline.
I put on a sticky note because you said I could, but on Thursday, you said if they win by less than 35, I'm buying. The Ducks won by 32, so what are you buying? I guess you said you were buying.
I
believe Stephen called on Friday. You said they're going to win by 40.
50.
50, yeah, whatever the number was. So what are you buying here?
I don't know.
All right.
What you tell me. What do you want?
Everything.
Next time we go out, I'll pick up the tab.
Yes.
Drinks and food is on me.
All right.
Well, we did spring for the pay-per-view, but that's a separate issue.
Well, I mean, if you wanted to cover that, too. I probably should have asked. I don't owe you or Tyler anything, do I?
No, no. Okay. We're the host with the most.
Okay, perfect.
But, yeah, we also told our old pal Alex that we were going to go out one night and have some dinner and cocktails.
Yeah.
There it is. It's on me.
Okay, perfect. We're doing it. Because the sticky note said so. All
right. Hey, you know me. I'd rather be used as military target practice than be viewed as somebody who wouldn't cover a bet. I mean, that's like the worst thing a human being can do. You made a bet and you didn't pay?
It wasn't even a bet. It was you just flippantly like, they're going to win by 35. And if they don't, I'm buying. And they got close. You set your own line at plus 35 and you lost.
Right.
That's brutal, man.
Yeah. What was the final? 93-61.
Yeah.
Yeah, and late in the game, there were two missed threes and a make. I wasn't cognizant of it, but now I'm replaying it in my mind.
Are you going to have a conversation? Is that what you're going to lead with Kelly Graves
yeah,
with tomorrow?
By the way,
is what's going on with you giving up the late three here? I'm trying to save myself a free dinner. What's going on?
Coach, we need to talk about your team's ability to close and your overhyped players like Sabrina and Satu and Hebert who can't finish games properly. Imagine his reaction like, what the hell is going on here? All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you'd like to jump on in. Okay, so what did I... Oh, yeah, okay. The folks who... what happens is, quite frequently, if I'm watching a game, I also have my notepad out and I've got my laptop open, and I'll take notes because... You never know when something's going to strike. That'll be a good show segment. I mean, when you do something like this, you know, it's like the Seinfeld episode where he kept a notepad and a pen next to his end table in bed, and he would write a joke, and there was the one that he couldn't understand what he wrote, and he tried to get George to decipher it. He tried to get the hotel maid to decipher it. But I'll quite often be like, for Monday, see tweet from blah, blah, blah. And then I'll look back on it on Monday, be like, yeah, that's not that good. And then I'll be like, ah, bring that one up. So somebody late Friday sent a very general tweet that interested me, but I was like, I'm going to need to chew on this for a bit. Said, who are the players on your arch rivals team that you would have to admit liking or enjoying to watch play? And I was like, you know what? When it comes to even the Red Sox or the Dallas Cowboys, like my most hated team, my most sports hated team in MLB and NFL, yeah, I could pick a guy out. In college, you know, I consider... I know for many of you, it's the natives have the more sour view of Oregon State. A lot of transplants. It's the Huskies. Plus, Husky Twitter, they're the worst. They're the Florida State version of the West Coast. They're just the worst people in the world.
Are they FSU West? FS West? FSU West or is FSU UW East?
No. Florida State is just okay. The horrible, horrible people.
The leader in the clubhouse there?
Yeah. And, it's just, I don't mind ball busting or ripping into one another, but the ignoring of facts is when you lose me. And when you think that what happened 40 years ago matters, but not 20 years ago. It's like you do realize the recruits are under 20, and it's really that simple. It's that math. So then I got to, it's like, no. When it comes to the teams I sports hate in NBA and NHL, no, there's not one guy I would say I like or enjoyed watching succeed. I root against them 24/7. Every Flyer and Celtic could go to hell. And I have no problem saying that. Now, would I admit that Bird was a great player? Yes. Would I admit, you know, like Bobby Clark, great player? Yeah. I didn't enjoy him. I didn't like him. I'm not admitting anything. And by the way, I know for the last couple of years it's Arizona, but could you really say Oregon, Oregon State, Oregon, Washington had a real basketball rivalry, except for like hit or miss here or there? Nate Robinson, Brandon Roy, which by the way, there's a perfect example. If you see, and I'm not a Blazer fan, I loved watching Roy in college, and I got to see him play in person three times. And as far as football goes, I mean, if the Civil War is the ultimate rivalry, I have not rooted much harder in a game than I rooted for Oregon State, the 2000 team, when they kicked the living crap out of Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl. Me and my two buddies, we were standing in front of the TV late in the fourth quarter, kind of going, more, score more, rub it in their faces, get more taunting penalties, and just as long as you're making Notre Dame and their fans and the football program miserable, I am here for it. You are my guys. Chad Johnson, Hushman Zada, Simonton, Smitty, the current coach. I was like, I couldn't have enjoyed anything in sports much more than I enjoyed that. But my issue with the respective fans of Oregon State basketball and Washington football is the detachment from reality. And the thought of, and I used to deal with this very frequently in the Mets-Yankees rivalries, Islanders-Rangers rivalries. I knew Ranger fans who, well, you got to admit the Islanders are great. No. Well, they just won three Stanley Cups. They're about to win the four. No. Oh, they're and they're not winning next year. My buddy who had a business and he had, we should just call them the Twins, the Bopsy Twins behind their back, the Idiot Twins. So. After the Rangers and Islanders played a cutthroat series in 1982, and in Game 5, when they played 3-5, the Islanders advanced on an overtime goal. And, they're not winning the Stanley Cup. And I had a rocket scientist who was completely willing to lead with his heart. What do you want to bet? Anything, whatever you want. Of course, this is the tough. The Rangers always played them tough, and they would kick the crap out of everybody else like they did in like 81, 2, and 3 en route to just dominating performances. And for 3 years, I would say, no exaggeration. I mean, going back then, back when, you know, minimum wage was $5 an hour, I probably was good to get $200-$300 a year from these two idiots betting against the Islanders. And their insistence, like, they would, in 80, it's just when I think about how you could, if you really wanted to be mean and incorporate it in gambling, you could travel around the country and just get to a particular town and say, who are the diehards that just actually think that their anger could impact the outcome of a game? Well, there's Freddie, hangs out at Joe's Bar. So you go sit there with him, go to the bay down in Packanack Lake and meet up with the Twins and just start talking crap about the Rangers and Islanders, and they'll break out the bill of sale of their car just out of complete and total anger. So the Rangers took him to 6 games in 82. And I basically told him, I don't think the Islanders have a chance of losing like another game the rest of the way. Because, first of all, they had, that dynasty was as good as you've ever seen. And it's just like once they survived the Rangers, the Quebec Nordiques were there, and the West was terrible back then. And so what happened is they beat the Rangers in six and won the next eight games and won the Stanley Cup. And one of the guys' name was Tim. He used to get red-faced, just so pissed off. They're not winning it again. No, they're not. I'm like, you realize you don't have a say. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I get paid once a month, I'll bet you. Okay, whatever. And just show up at my buddy's place. He did wallpapering and all the supplies, and they'd be working there. Money get like 3, 4 20s just thrown at me. We're not winning again next year. You want to bet? And, of course, the next year they end up sweeping a young Wayne Gretzky in Edmonton. But, like, that guy, if you'd have said, who's your arch rival? Islanders. Is there a guy you like? No, I hate them all. The worst. I can't stand the sight of any of them. That would have been like, well, me, I'm a little more rational now. But back then, it would be like, Flyers, no, they're all scum. Celtics, no, they're all scum. And that's before I used the term sports hate. It was like, I really detested these people. I would see Bird on TV, like, walking through a bar and just put my middle finger up and just keep walking. It's like, I hate you. I hate the Celtics. Very rational.
What a perfect question for you, because you have a lot of sports hate, but then you have to think and you have to do a deep introspective of like, did I just hate them for the laundry that they wore on, you know, whenever they played against my team, whenever I saw them on TV, was it just because the colors were wrong, or can I look back and think maybe I didn't hate them very much, and then you snapped yourself right out. No, I hate them all. They can all go to hell. Why not? Why would I ever admit that?
Well, there was, you look back now and you almost say, yeah, that's pretty funny. But the Rangers were one of the first teams to delve into Europe, and they brought over a couple of Swedes. And so in one game, I think it was Ulf Nielsen, and their Hall of Fame defenseman hit him hard. Some thought it might have been a cheap shot, and he was out. His career was never really the same. And so later, a Swede, he was the Flyers goaltender, and his name is eluding me, and this is bad. I'll get to it. But he was playing for Philly, and he was, got a taste of a bunch of money and bought a Porsche and slammed it into a wall. And he died. And when the rain in I'm not talking way later. Oh, Pelle Lindbergh, who, if you listen to if you see the movie Miracle, he was the goalie on Sweden. And you hear Al Michael say, saved by Lindbergh. And I remember watching the movie being, oh, right, I forgot about that. So he got killed in an accident in about 83 or 84 driving a Porsche. When Dennis Potvin of the Islanders showed up at the Garden, they would chant, drive a Porsche, Potvin, drive a Porsche.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was... the heat of that rivalry, and Ranger fans wouldn't even, they're lucky. They got, win four straight Stanley Cups, they would never begrudgingly admit they were even a quality hockey club. All right. Now that I got that out of my system, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline.
My answer to that is Clayton Kershaw. I hate that guy's blood, but he's such a good pitcher. He's the worst. Get out of here.
All right.
Do it in the playoffs.
Let's take a break. We'll be back, and we'll have a Coors Light update and more sports talk. 95.3, The Score.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Garrity RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top five RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Garrity.com.
I wanted to be a part of the generation that changed basketball for Gigi and her teammates, where being born female didn't mean being born behind, where greatness wasn't divided by gender. You have too much to give to stay silent. That's what he said. That's what he believed. That's what he lived. Through Gigi, through me, through his investment in women's basketball. That was his next great act, a girl dad. Basketball in many ways was just a metaphor. I still text them even though he's not here. Thank you for everything. The rest is for you. Rest easy, my guy.
That was Sabrina Ionescu talking at the Kobe and Gianna Bryant Memorial today at Staples Center, which drew, as you might imagine, a veritable who's who. And, man, talking about the fact she still texts him. And how about the GM of L.A.? First of all, welcome back to Sports Talk 95.3, The Score. Rob Pelinka gets up there and says he was texting back and forth with Kobe when Kobe was on the helicopter. He Bryant wanted to, I think, get an internship for one of Coach Altobelli's daughters. He said he would vouch for her, and Pelinka was like already on it. I think I'll be able to set it up. And then the text stopped. I mean, that's something that, A, I hope nobody ever has to witness, but that's like, how do you ever get another text to look at your phone and have that not, I don't know, in your mind? It's just, it's never going to go away. It's, you know, time will mean that periodically you text and you go about your normal way of communicating and you don't think about it. Then one day when you're going to, that's one of those times where it keeps you up at night, or you sit at your desk and you just stare at your phone and be like, ugh, it's like it happened yesterday, when all of a sudden it'll be a year, 4 years, 7 years in the in a rearview mirror. But, you know, from, I'll tell you what, when I saw Bill Russell wearing a 24 Laker jersey, I was like, whoa. I mean, that's the guy who invented the Laker-Celtic dynasty and made the Celtics what they were, and the Lakers never beat him, ever. You know, his time in the league was from 56 through 69, and the last year that Boston won the title, his last year when he was player coach, I mean, that's an unbelievable Laker team. But and it was the first time they gave out an NBA Finals MVP award, and the only time it went to a guy on a losing team, Jerry West. And it's probably the first memory I have where I kind of knew what was going on, as far as the Knicks had lost to the Celtics, and I was seven in the finals in six tough games. The Knicks were coming together. They would win the championship the next year, go to the NBA Finals 2 years after that, and win it for the final time 3 years after that. But that's how it worked in those days. The Lakers would have Elgin Baylor and Jerry West. Then they got Chamberlain, and they still couldn't beat him. And West was just silly in that series. And I don't remember it per se. I know I read about it, but he averaged 38 points a game. I mean, you want to talk about doing all you can. And just effing Celtics. The story of Bill Russell was told last week. I'm not sure what the circumstances are. I mean, they won 11 titles, and they played, what was it, 11 or 12 game sevens? He never lost one. He never lost the game seven. And a lot of people think of him as, I don't know, what would be the modern day description? He was more of a system guy. But then you also see, for people who are like, well, that proves you really don't know what you're talking about. Because in like four different game sevens, he had more than 25 points and 30 rebounds.
Like, that makes that statistically, it sounds like nobody else was trying. Like, I don't understand.
Except for Chamberlain.
Well, right. It's like he gets the ball, he gets to shoot it, he gets his misses, and then just like that's it. And all of the other rebounds in the game, they weren't picked up because they just were on shots that Chamberlain took that that went into the basket. That doesn't make sense. How do you do that in basketball?
His first 11 years in the league, his lowest rebounds per game average was 19.6.
Come on, man. That's cheating.
And, you know, he averaged 19 points, 18 points, but his whole team was the Hall of Famers. They talk about him being the biggest winner. He's also one of the most clutch SOBs that ever drew breath. I mean, his playoffs per game average in rebounding, per game average, 165 games, was 25. I'm sorry, that's ridiculous. And in the 1962 playoffs, and there were a couple overtime games, he averaged 48 minutes. He played every minute of every game, just about. And, you know, his average, for example, in 62 in the playoffs, 22 points, 26 rebounds, 21 points, 25 rebounds. So that's, I would say, an upgrade from a system player. Call me nuts. All right, and of course, you know, seeing him in a Laker jersey, it's just like, whoa, 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 everybody calm down.
Yeah, it was Jimmy Kimmel started the memorial off today, and he was talking about, like, you know, from obviously in L.A. and a little bit in Philly, but it was like in places where Kobe was hated on the basketball court, like, he still missed. And he was like, I mean, when Bill Russell, like you've talked about, when he puts on a Laker jersey to signify, like, wow, we lost somebody, I want to remember Kobe Bryant, like, that's a major figure that we lost and lost in a tragic way. That's incredible. Like, that wouldn't, I don't think that would happen with anybody else with any other rivalry, really.
No, things are, like, for example, when Bill Russell passes, when Jerry West passes, you know, they're going to be in their 70s, late 70s and 80s, and it'll be sad, but not tragic. I mean, somebody, you know, losing their life, obviously, is always a reason for sadness, but the shake you to your core suddenness that has struck here has really resonated. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you'd like to jump on in, you can hit it on the text line, 321-0824. That's the text line. All right, let's take a phone call and get ready for a highly upgraded edition of Light 'Em Up to wrap up the first hour of Sports Talk. But first, to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, we go bring in Betty. Betty, good afternoon. Thank you for calling. How you doing?
Yeah. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
You probably don't remember, but I'm from New Jersey.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There aren't a lot of us. Well, out here.
No. But 6 years ago, my husband and I had drinks with you and your wife at Sam's Place.
Right. Yeah, I remember we were out on the patio talking about New Jersey.
And my husband fell off the bench.
Right.
We made a grand entrance.
Okay, well done there.
Yeah, so you're taking some people out to dinner? I know you don't want to say on the air what night and when, but...
Yeah, we haven't ironed out the details. I made a kind of an off-the-cuff wager about Oregon women on Friday winning
right.
by at least 35 points, and I said if they mm-hmm. lost to Nick that I'm buying, and unfortunately he remembered, so now I'm on the hook here.
Now you have to pay up.
Yeah, I know. Well, this is what happens when what you say is frequently documented, and you make a point of making sure that you, you know, you back up your word.
That's right.
All righty. Well, nice talking to
you. Yeah, well,
I hope everybody.
Go Ducks.
All right. Thanks, Betty. Hope everybody's standing up well. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Yeah, I'm just trying to think. One of my best friends I met out here that grew up about 20 miles from me in Jersey now lives in the Bay Area. So one of our favorite guests who now lives in the Bay Area is Mike Yam of the Pac-12 Network, who we always joke when we call him, you do the 201. My buddy Doug, who works with Kesey and Flying Ink Media, he's a Jersey guy. Is that it? Is it just me, Betty, and Doug? Are we the three last Jerseyites living among us here in Eugene, Oregon? I know we get the callers, Bill, who's a Mets fan, from New York as well. I'm just trying to think. It used to be amazing.
Jersey Jack,
thank you very much. Going in the days before the 1994 NFL season, when Good Times had the satellites on the roof where you had to go, and it just would be the unique melting pot that is Eugene on display, because in the morning, here came the New York, Washington, Philly. You know, so now that I think about it, in the early 90s, there were not a lot of Patriot fans. I'm not saying that for effect. There were, I can think of one Boston guy. But, you know, typical idiot Giant fans and Jet fans, Philly fans. There were a couple Washington fans. But you remember, in 91 or 2, Washington had been on a run where they'd been to the Super Bowl in 82 and 83 and won it in 87. They just won it in 91. I mean, they were a really good team. And then the day moved along, and then you'd get your what we call the 1 o'clock games, and all of a sudden out of the woodwork would come all the Niner fans and the Raider fans and you know, the Denver fans, obviously the annoying Seattle fans, and even then the then LA Ram fans before they moved. And I was always fascinated and met a lot of people. So where are you from? And it was amazing how many people who, beyond coming here for school, just were traveling, were sick of the big city. There were an element of deadheads who just came out, saw them in Eugene, were like, yeah, we're going to stay here and, you know, put down roots. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you'd like to jump on in before our final break of the hour. And on cue to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, we go bring in Jersey Jack. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Steve. I thought you forgot me there for a second.
Well, that's why I have Nick. He's good backup.
There you go. Hey, I just wanted to mention the Rangers signed Kreider to a 7-year extension.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, I thought it was 50-50 if they were going to trade him. And all of a sudden, they kept him. And, you know, I guess you can see him as a centerpiece player. I mean, he's 28, but with his speed, I mean, with the right team around him, he could be a difference maker. But, man, 7 years.
This team is not going to do it this year. But the next 2 or 3 years, they're going to be a really good team.
No, I agree. There's hope for the future. You know, it wasn't the not-too-distant past that they were in the finals playing L.A., and now, lo and behold, here we are.
All right, bud. Take care.
Take it easy. Yeah, first of all, and he's not having a very good year, it's time to move on from King Henrik. I mean, his days are behind him. It ain't going to happen. He ain't going to go Richter and raise the cup. Not going to happen. All right, break time. We'll be back, and we're going to light him up next. 95.3 The Score.
we're riding the waves of technology just for you. You can call the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline at 284-8571. Text 321-0824. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953.
Winner by way of technical knockout. He is still the undefeated lineal heavyweight champion and the new WBC heavyweight champion of the world, the Gypsy King, Tyson Fury.
Inevitable final call on the pay-per-view from Saturday night as we welcome you back to Sports Talk, the home stretch on a Monday in the 4 o'clock hour when we wrap with a look back at a huge weekend and pick out the standouts in a little thing we call Light 'em Up.
Again, Butter, Steph Curry, his 11th three of the night.
Kobe on a spin.
Yes! What a display!
They can't believe it courtside. Neither could we.
Airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree. Oh, my God.
How about another? To center field. Number 4. Josh Hamilton.
It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Win the series for the first time in 14 years!
Thanks, Mike Tirico. It is again time for Light 'em Up. The best of the best from the weekend, the month, maybe a career. Who knows? It's whatever we get to pick, and we get to honor them here. Steve, you go first.
All right. I'm going to start with the new undisputed heavyweight champ, Tyson Fury, who's lit. I'm not sure I could have picked him out of a lineup 2 weeks ago. Then from the coverage of places like ESPN here on CBS Sports Radio, articles on websites, plus being a longtime boxing fan, I was intrigued to the point where we were like, we're pay-per-viewing the fight. It's on. And I thought at 271, Fury might be in some trouble. Wilder is cut. He's a tremendous athlete. And at 231, had the kind of power I thought would eventually get through and drop the big Brit. Wrong! Fury took it to him immediately. Landed a shot in the second, drew blood. Turned out it was a cut on his ear, but it knocked off his balance inside his ear, his equilibrium, his footwork, all shot. And it's kind of amazing. Wilder lasted until the seventh, but Tyson Fury is a bad, bad man and lit.
It's lit!
Carolina Hurricanes goalie and Toronto Marlies Zamboni driver David Ayers is lit.
It's lit!
In the NHL, there's this thing called the emergency goalie. He's a guy who gets to go to NHL games, get some nice seats, and in case the first two goalies of either team go down, this random guy gets the call, and normally it's a goalie or a coach or whatever, but David Ayers is a Zamboni driver, which already makes him one of the coolest dudes on the planet, and at 42 years old, on hockey night in Canada, he won an NHL game for the Carolina Hurricanes against the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's not just that he's a Zamboni driver who's the emergency goalie who plays in beer league hockey. He works for the Leafs minor league team. He's a part of the Toronto organization, and he's playing for the other team, and he stopped 8 shots. He only let in 2 goals in his 28 minutes, and I'm not sure if this means bad things for the Toronto Maple Leafs, who lost 6-3 to a 42-year-old, or if it means you should never give up on your dreams of playing in the NHL. Either way, it's great. The Hurricanes are selling jerseys with his name on it. Proceeds going to a kidney foundation because he had a procedure where he gave his kidney to his mother in 2004. An incredible human being, and he's lit.
It's lit!
And I got a double up here. So for David Ayers, it's just lit.
It's lit!
So if you follow sports, you heard the story, and if you're listening to the show, you just heard it. And by the way, for Civil War buffs like Keith Hernandez, there was a Union soldier awarded for gallantry during the Siege of Vicksburg, known as... Yeah, David Ayers, it's not him.
Oh.
This is the guy who, like Nick said, is the ops manager at Coca-Cola Coliseum, where he got to drive the Zamboni, and in a game against his hometown Leafs, so Carolina's two goalies get injured. And he gives up goals on the first 2 shots, stops the next 8, and played about half the game and got the win. And the best part is he wasn't even paid. So the team announced they're going to sell his T-shirts to make some money for him and that kidney foundation. David Ayers, 42 years old, wakes up, ends up playing in and winning a real NHL game. That's lit.
It's lit!
I could talk about that for probably 9 hours. That's the most incredible thing ever. Mason Saunders, a team roping rodeo champion, is lit.
It's lit!
That's right. I'm moving on from just talking about soccer to now team roping rodeos. Mason Saunders and his teammate Jackson Tucker, that's Jackson with an X, won $26,000 in the Wickenburg, Arizona in December. And I'm talking about it now because Mason Saunders is Madison Bumgarner. That's right. The three-time World Series champion, 2014 World Series MVP, professional baseball player Madison Bumgarner has been using an alias to compete in team rodeo competitions. Thanks to Andrew Baggerly and Zach Buckman of The Athletic for unearthing this story because it is wild. And it turns out for years, Mad Bum has been spending his offseason working out by wrangling cattle. Forget that he's earned $62 million in his career. The D-backs are going to give him another $100 million. Spotrac needs to add cattle wrangling money category to learn about everything else he's been learning in his off time. Just when I thought the legend of Mad Bum couldn't get any better, it did. So congrats to Mason Saunders on your big day. That's lit.
It's lit!
All right, my last one is Ovi. Alexander Ovechkin of the Washington Caps is historically lit.
It's lit!
Okay,
so on Saturday, the Great Eight joined a very exclusive list, now one of eight in NHL history to score 700 goals, and the manner, the style of a side net feed from Evgeny Kuznetsov, he launches a one-time laser, somehow finds a hole and beats Jersey goalie Mackenzie Blackwood.
Toward Kuznetsov, Ovechkin a shot, he scores, and there it is, 700 goals in his National Hockey League career!
He does it in his 1,145th career game. For example, the guy ahead of him by eight, Mike Gartner, played 1,400. So of modern-era snipers, only the greatest pure goal scorer ever, Mike Bossy of the Islanders, Mario Lemieux, and Pavel Bure, average more goals per game. Ovi, the Great Eight, lit.
It's lit!
Last one for me very quickly. Kamani Johnson of the Little Rock Trojans is lit.
It's lit!
At 19-9, the Trojans are atop the Sun Belt. They're 13-4 in conference play, ready to make a splash in the tourney, and Kamani Johnson is going to be that guy. At 6'7", he had a throwback game against Arkansas State. 32 points, 16 rebounds, 9 of 12 from the field, didn't take a 3. 14 for 19 from the free throw line. Turns out the Hack-a-Shaq strategy is alive and well in the Fun Belt. Probably not going to work out for you for a guy who's shooting 75% from the line this year. So keep throwing it down, big man. Kamani Johnson is lit.
It's lit!
Throw it down, big man.
One time.
All right, that's a wrap. Sports Talk, 5 o'clock hour next, 95.3 The Score.
If you surround yourself with turds, you're headed towards Turdville.